Now we're speaking about racial inequality. Let's take it to something lighthearted, ISIS. Got to drive ISIS. It's a Muslim conference. ISIS has to come at least once in a while. How can we escape ISIS? And we're talking about ISIS, so I have to, of course, bring in Sheikh Yasir Qadhi, who has engaged in this debate with many people right now in mainstream media in the past year. Is ISIL Islamic? What is ISIS? And as a result of his public statements, your public statements against ISIS, you have the dubious distinction and honor of having a color photo and spread in Dabiq, which is ISIS's publication, by the way. Unfortunately, the photo is accompanied by an open call to assassinate you. We make levity of a terrifying situation for the sake of catharsis, just for the sake of release, but this is serious. There's only two American Muslim scholars whom ISIS has called out for public assassination. You're one of them. Specifically, as an individual, how does this affect you? And number two, does it chill your commentary or does it make you more emboldened in your criticism?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala hamma ba'd. The call of ISIS to assassinate another Muslim is not surprising coming from this organization. We didn't expect anything better from them. They have done nothing except wreak havoc and terror for our faith and our religion. And if we wanted to create an enemy to disfigure us and smear us, we could not have created an entity more damaging than ISIS. So the fact of the matter is it didn't surprise anybody. And if anything, I actually thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that clearly what I'm saying is getting to them somehow. Clearly, the points that we're raising and the points that we're using to refute them is irritating them to the level of them wanting to simply eliminate me. And I really think that this was a sign and a blessing for those, because believe it or not, brothers and sisters, and I know this is terrifying to some of us, but alhamdulillah, we know 99% of the ummah over here has nothing to do with ISIS. But there is that 1% or 0.1%, however much it is, there are those disenfranchised young men and women who actually think that ISIS is doing something good. We all know they exist. We all know they're a very small, minuscule percentage, but they're out there. And that's why we have young men and women, you know, every few months or weeks, we hear about one person leaving our country and going there. For that segment, for them to hear that these are the tactics of ISIS, I mean, you know, if you want to refute me, let's have it. Go ahead. Let's have a discussion. Let's have a dialogue. Release your points, I'll release mine. But when you're resorting to threats of assassination, and you think that this is going to get your points across, wallahi, I think I don't even need to refute that. They've refuted themselves in their call to assassinate a critic. If you're so grounded in the Quran and Sunnah, if you're so pious and holy, then bismillah, quote me the text. Quote me what you have. But if you're so silenced by criticism that the only alternative you have is to threaten with violence and assassination, well then, I think, as I said, that is the greatest refutation of your own argument. As for me personally, to be honest, I mean, I think it affects my family more than it affects me. I believe Allah Azza wa Jalla will protect, alhamdulillah, I'm fully confident. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, I was asked this question on Fox News, actually, a number of other entities. Aren't you worried about going to the mosque, about attending conventions? They were even asking about, for example, conventions like ours here at ISNA. Aren't you worried? And I said, subhanAllah, the safest place I ever am in is amongst Muslims. The safest place I ever feel is amongst Muslims. And I've gotten, I'll finish with this point. I've gotten death threats from two segments of humanity. Death threats, I'm not exaggerating. Death threats, literally threats to kill from two segments of humanity. The first of them was not ISIS. The first segment that threatened to eliminate me from the face of this earth, one of them was really funny. I got a letter in my college, cut and paste. You know how the cartoons, yeah, they cut and paste them. Literally, I kid you not, I have it in my office still. It's literally cut and pasted from newspapers, letter, you know, word for word, like they say. Let me introduce you to two friends of mine, Smith and Wesson. Mm. Maybe some of you won't get that joke in Chicago. I don't know, but I just found that
it's a gun. Smith and Wesson's a gun.
Smith and Wesson is one of the names of famous guns. My point being, the first segment that threatened me was not radical Islam. It was the far right. It was the far right of our own country here. And the first time the FBI came to inform me that, you know, there are threats out there, it wasn't my fellow Muslims. It was my fellow Americans. And I said this on CNN, and well, Fox News didn't let me say that point, but I said this on CNN and on other news agencies that, you know, don't just concentrate on the radicals over there. There are radicals over here as well. And the fact of the matter is, me living where I'm living, I'm more worried about radicals from the far right than I am amongst radicals from within my own community. I can handle you guys, alhamdulillah. You're not radical. You're my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah. But I can't say the same for everybody else out there. So the bottom line, I think that this narrative that all Muslims are terrorists or whatnot, it cannot stand from the far right when ISIS is clearly threatening clerics and religious people.
But it must unsettle you, right? Because all of us on this table, we've all been recipients. If you're in the public space talking about Muslim issues, Muslimi issues, for long enough, everyone gets a death threat or two. Oftentimes, the death threats we get, myself included, far right, and far right, mashallah, some Muslims. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that we always get. But to be called out specifically by ISIS in Dabiq in a public call for assassination, because look, when ISIS does its propaganda, it inspires, as you know, radicals in the West to commit acts. Those were people who are unhinged. We see it in Sydney, we saw it in France, we saw it in Tunisia. I mean, how does this really like affect? Do you sit there and say, oh, alhamdulillah, Allah take care of me, I'm going to go to sleep? I mean, this must unsettle you.
I didn't aim to become a target of assassination for ISIS. It's not a goal, it's not something I want. I never wanted it. Of course I don't want it. But I felt it my duty to speak out and refute, to criticize, to show the shallowness, the speciousness of their arguments. I felt it my duty to defend the reality of my faith. And one thing led to another, and I didn't choose this position for me, but it's here right now. And I have two options. Either I become a coward and I basically shut up and hide and put my head in the sand like an ostrich and run away, or I stand up and defend my faith and my religion and my book and my prophet and the image of my faith. And I'm sorry, it's a no-brainer. I didn't want this position and I don't like it. But what am I going to do now? I bismillah, tawakkal ala Allah. And inshallah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect. That's all I can do.
And do a prayer for Yasir Qadhi's family as well.